Hello.
Oh, hi, Carl.
Hey, how are you?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Doing really well. How was your
Good.
trip?
Oh, it was very nice. I was in Colorado Springs for a week. I went with my sister and visiting my son and my two grandkids.
Oh, nice.
They're growing up. They're 3 and a half and 1 and a half.
I know. They grow so fast.
Yeah, it's really fun. Yeah. So, I saw you guys went to LA. I saw now that we're connected on Facebook, I can see your stuff.
Yeah. We were in LA. We had two, it was like two deep dive boot camp trainings back to back, 2 3 days. So it was 6 days, very intense, like long, long days, very intense. But it was so fulfilling. There was a lot that came at us, and I'm still processing. It's going to take a while to process that much, but we took copious notes, and I mean, the materials that they gave us. I think we brought back like 40 pounds of materials, like of books
Oh
and stuff. Oh my gosh, it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. And the
my
people, the group of people, are just, really lovely, heart-centered people. So
That's great.
we really love
That's
it.
great.
Really love
Sounds
it.
like it's a good fit for you.
Yeah. And and it just ties in with everything that we're doing. I'll be on the success call this week on Wednesday, so I'm writing my talk now. So I'm gonna add a lot of this stuff into it and bring this up. So
Good.
that's good. So
Excellent.
tell me, how was this? Well, we spoke about 2 weeks ago. So tell me about your wins. What wins did you have? What were your high points?
Of the trip or
Or
of
just
the business?
applying what you're learning here, the dream building principles and that sort of thing. What were some of the things that you noticed, some of the high points?
I mean, it's fun to be able to have the freedom to be able to enjoy my family. That's one of the things that I have in terms of my dream. So that was very, very good. Had a chance to actually play with my grandkids and see how I see their activity in a little bit different way. I wouldn't say that I actually did some role play. I mean, remember we had said that I don't remember, playing around and doing that kind of thing. I don't think I did that, but I sense, probably because I see my retirement at the end of the tunnel, I see it happening. That's probably why. But more than in that trip, I'm mentoring a couple. I'm mentoring two couples in my church. Well, one in my church and one outside my church. Because my pastor, I'm helping her with the marital counseling, which that's relieved her of some responsibility from the marital counseling. And there's this particular couple, young couple, that I really have connected with, and I've actually helped a lot. I mean, their marriage wasn't at the point of that's it. Myself and the pastor, we've been able to help them rebuild it. So. I've been sharing that they both have, very good dreams. They have ideas, things that they want to do, and they just don't see themselves as being able to. They have four kids. So I've been sharing some of the stuff that I've learned here with you, with them, and it's given them like hope. It's given them a lot of hope. I just actually at 1 o'clock I had like a coffee meeting with her. Just she wanted to just meet me for a little bit. So that's been good. That's been good. And one of my goals is to be a motivator, public speaker. Help others grow, help others succeed. So all of that is tying in.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's exciting. Yeah, to
Yeah, that
give them
is
hope
exciting.
and then to start to give them the tools, the actual tools and the action
Yeah,
steps,
yeah, yeah.
so
I
they
shared a
build on that.
story. Yeah, I shared a story of the woman that, had the coffee shop, and then she thought it was a restaurant. And then, it was actually a bed and breakfast. And she opened her eyes and like, oh my God, she was limiting herself. I said, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm enjoying this, and I see myself, you know, using some of this, even, you know, not only for myself, because,
yeah.
you know, but also for others.
Exactly, exactly. So, yeah, you're going to be able to apply that in all areas of your life, and then to also teach them to others and live by example,
yeah.
but also be able to hand that over. And you're already doing it. You're already doing
yeah.
it. I mean, and I know, because that's who you are. You don't hold anything back. You learn something new, you're out there sharing it, you know? And that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
So how are the exercises this week, doing the exercises?
They were good. They were good. I pretty much completed most of them. The two or three that I had trouble with, because I think, I don't know whether I'm repressing it or I'm just not in depth enough, but I just couldn't identify any Harrys in my life. Maybe in the past I had some Harrys, you know, like right after my divorce, right after I had a major issue with someone, you know, that I trusted and failed me, so I had to actually forgive, you know, but that was all part of my healing as I became a Christian.
Yeah.
So in the past I've had, but I couldn't identify any Harrys.
Well, that's good.
So I felt,
I mean,
like, I should have some Harrys.
You should go look for Harry. No, but, you know, I mean, you've done some of this work. Like you said, you've done some of this cleansing work, this detox, this, you know, you've gone through
right.
it. But just keep noticing what you're noticing, because sometimes it could be really subtle. And you're like, wow, I didn't realize I was dragging this with me. This is really
mm-hmm.
limiting me. This is slowing me down. Especially as we get deeper into the work. Because it's all in layers. It's like an onion. You start to peel it and you go deeper
yeah.
and deeper. It's like healing, right? Healing comes in layers. Like you get to that first step and you're feeling great, but then you go to the next level. You go deeper and then you start to bring up more of that junk that's inside. So just, you know, just keep noticing what you're noticing. And you know, something may come up. I'm not saying you have any Harrys, but something may come up. So, and you continue refining your vision and you're speaking it out loud and getting into the vibration?
Well, it's kind of hard not to. I mean, right after every lesson, they have you repeat the vision.
Good, good, good. Now, I just want to be sure that you're doing that homework, that life work. And then,
no,
and
I
then,
am. I am. With the exceptions of the ones that I get stuck on, like the Harry exercise 3, the second part. Let's see. Let me go back. I did lesson three and four and five. Okay, so in lesson four, which one? The first one I had trouble with. Connect with your dream and then write down what you believe is your soul's purpose. I couldn't distinguish what they wanted me to write here in terms of my soul's purpose, so I didn't write anything here.
Okay, so with that one, you might have just been looking too deep into it, because I think you already know why you're here.
Okay, that's what I thought. That's
yeah,
I thought.
Yeah.
So,
I think you were trying to look past that, but you already know. I think you get a strong sense of why you are here and who you are.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what that means. It was just, you know, getting, you know, expanding it, maybe refining it, sharpening it. But you have a very strong sense of who you are.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's what that was. So
okay.
I think you were just trying to look beyond
it.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So it's that one would be more of a polishing exercise as opposed to, because some people really, they don't know, oh, I like this and I like this and I don't really
know how to apply
my gifts and stuff, but you know.
Okay, and the second one, the universal power is truly abundant and without limitation, okay? So with this understanding, write out why you believe all these things are possible for your life. I mean, that's pretty, that's pretty clear cut. Write out what you believe. You know, I think I understand that.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I get it. Exercise number four, so any resentment or whether you feel like, you know, your lack of limitation, I just don't feel that. You know, then write your thought patterns and behavior that are directly in conflict with the life you would love to live. Identify five of your thought patterns or behaviors that are direct conflict with the life that you would like to live. Like I said, maybe in the past I may have had some conflict, but, you know, as a child, you know, I did have some, you know, many people that were negative and said that I couldn't do it, but, I've overcome that.
Yeah. So, no, that's good. I mean, you have done a lot of this work. So this would be, if you would notice you were feeling a little jealous, let's say, of somebody, or a little envious of somebody, I think that would be a clue, or just to give you a little sense of, why is that? Why am I feeling that when I see them have these things or have this success or this relationship or whatever that is? And then it's going to bring up something, you know, in you, resentment or jealousy or something like that. And you're going to, so I think that's what this is about, is like noticing that, those subtleties. Now, sometimes it's overt. You know, some people's like, oh, man, I'm just like green with envy, you know, that this person got this, or, you know, or.
Oh, I see.
You see what I mean?
I see. Well, envy is not in my vocabulary, but
yeah.
I do notice that, you know, the way that life is, you know, competitive life in the professional world, you want to excel. I do notice that I like to excel, right? But I don't see that as a negative.
It's not. It's not a negative at all. It's actually a very strong driving force.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, there is. Did you get those books, by the way? Especially Raymond Barker's book.
No, I have not.
You haven't. Okay. And Wallace Wattles talks about this as well. Is the competitive mind versus the creative mind? And we really, so the competitive mind has the outlook that things are limited. Like, oh, you know, if they get that job or that promotion or if they get that patient and I don't, then, you know, something's been taken away from me. Where the universe is unlimited. You know, it's unlimited. There's customers, there's patients, there's promotions out there for everybody. And so what he talks about is the creative, the competitive mind versus the creative mind.
Oh.
And I actually brought this, one of my clients brought this up to me because he said he was going into a tournament, a pickleball tournament, which is like, I don't know if you're familiar with pickleball. It's like a combination of tennis and racquetball and that, but it's played on a court. Very fun, but it's a sport.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going into a tournament, and so like his competitive side came up, and it's like, and when that comes up, sometimes it blocks him because he gets so, you know, caught up in the game. And so he was texting me, saying, you know, what should I do about this? And I talked to him about this concept of competitive mind versus creative mind. I said, step out of the competitive mind. Don't look at it as a competition. Look at it as a creative challenge that you want to solve, because that's going to tap into a different part of you.
Hmm.
What you're going to do is you're so if you look at it as a creative thing, you're going to tap into creation. You're going to tap into inspiration and motivation, and it comes out of that competitive mindset where it could be restrictive. Where if you're in creative, then it's like, oh, I'm looking. I see solutions. I could play this way, as opposed to this way. And it opens you up. It opens up your mind. It opens up your heart to more possibilities. I think, again,
I get the concept, but can you be more specific about with that example? For example, competitive mind, yes, you want to excel. You want to do better, you know? But
yeah.
how would the attitude be if you moved it to the creative mind? How would that be?
So by going into a creative mind, so the whole concept is the competitive mind is limited, because the outlook is like, I have to beat you, I have to win here, and
right.
You know, it's like it's all or nothing. Where creative
right.
is more inclusive, saying, okay, I'm going to bring my best self to this game. So it's like when you teach kids, it's like, it's not winning or losing, it's how you play the game.
Right.
And so by going into that mindset, you're still going to play at your elite level. You're still going to play at your top level. It's just that now you're bringing a creative force that's coming through you, as opposed to this limited outlook that you're trying to defeat the other person.
Right, right. But I guess my question is, how do you do that? I mean, I understand what the end result would be, but how do you, with that example of playing a sport,
yeah,
how do you get to the creative mind of the sport?
Yeah. How do you shift that? So, I mean, part of it is, you know, going into it, it's just like every time I go into a session, I go into a presentation, I always say a prayer of gratitude. And I always say, everything here is for the higher good of everybody concerned.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm.
Right? So maybe there's somebody in the audience that, you know, that we're not going to try to, you know, like if I'm going into a presentation about a water demo, I'm not going to twist somebody's arm to buy the machine. I'm going to educate them, and I'm going to be at the highest level of good for everybody concerned. So maybe it's not right for them to buy the machine from where they're at that moment in their life, but being in that spirit, they may turn around and talk to their neighbor or their sister or brother or somebody else, and they would bring that in. So that's going to attract to me the higher good for everybody concerned. And then who knows, later they say, all right, I didn't feel pressured, then my arm wasn't twisted that I had to buy this right now. It just it brings me into more of an inclusive, creative mind.
That
so obviously, like, does that make sense?
Yes, very much
so.
So
it's, you know, it's like even when you're sitting with a patient and you're trying to solve a health challenge, you know, the competitive mind would be, you've got sickness and health, and you see this polarity. Where the creative mind says, you know what, the truth of the matter is we are all vibrant health. This is just appearing as sickness. So how can we shift that and change that? And then the solutions come through it. Oh, maybe it's you know, it's this lifestyle shift. Maybe it's we need surgery here, or maybe we need pharmaceuticals here, or whatever, or a combination, whatever that creative, the higher good for that situation. So let the infinite intelligence, let the mind of God work through it, through you. Yeah. So that's what that's, so exercise, just going back to circle back to exercise four, is sometimes we get that, you know, like envy is not part of it, but let's say you get, you know, resentment. It's like, oh, you know, that person, that doctor got a, you know, an award, or that guy, doctor got a promotion, or, you know, a recognition that I should have gotten, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's more of a competitive mind, which is more lack and limitation, as opposed to congratulations, I feel, you know, that's for his highest good or her highest good. And you're not gonna, you can never steal somebody else's blessing. You can't.
Okay.
There's no way. Yeah.
Okay.
All
yes,
right.
I understand that. No, I've never felt that way, but I it's really good, the part about the competitive mind versus the creative mind. That's really good.
Yeah, it just puts us in a different. It's just the whole outlook. It just shifts it, you know. Now, exercise four, lesson four, exercise five. We're talking about titles, you know.
Yeah.
How did that lesson go for you?
Yeah, I don't, again, I was not very good at that because I don't remember label, again, maybe in my youth.
Okay.
In my youth, you know, maybe I may have put some labels on myself, but I've walked away from that. I don't feel that anymore.
That's good. So part of this exercise was actually, you know, bringing those titles, those even there if they're in the past, but showing how you transform them, how you they don't have that same meaning anymore, because that was a good lesson for you. Like, because if something does come up, let's say, oh, you know, you're a female, you're a Latina, and you're an
yes.
OBGYN in this male dominated field.
Yes.
So now you're labeled as, oh, you know, that Latina woman, you know, that, you know, who is she, you know, trying to come in here,
mm-hmm.
that sort of thing. But it's just, again, it's just an awareness. It's an awareness exercise. Just bringing that up and say, okay, because there's a gift in everything, you know. So whatever those titles come up, say, okay, I see what that is. I'm not gonna give it power, but I could as they were in the past, you know, you can transform those titles. So that's good. That's good. And then you know, and then exercise six and lesson four, it just brings it right back to your vision again. You know, really just like listing those things and just keep refining and sharpening and sharpening. So let me just back up in a little bit here. So last session we talked about the five questions to help you test your dream to make sure it's worthy of you. Okay, does it give me more life? Is it expansive? Is it just like light me up? Does it align with my core values? So we talked about that because some of the core values might not align with your husband's core values, right? When you first came together 10 years ago and said, okay, well, you know, we're going in this direction to retire and to do less. And now you've got these visions and these dreams that are big, they're huge. So, but we talked about that, how to shift those and balance them. It's about a matter of balance. Does it make me grow? And I think, you know, I think it does for you. Does it require help from a higher power? And does it have a good end for others? So, you know, we talked about that. So that was just a, you know, a summary about that. And part of it, too, and I don't know how much we went into it last time, but it was in the lessons, is that, and you've experienced this already in your life, not everything in your life right now will come with you to that vision.
Yes.
Right? Because there are people in your life. There are things around you that okay, they're in your life now, they were here for a season, but, you know, you're moving into something else, and they're not going to be coming along on that journey with you.
Yeah.
So it's just having that awareness. And then as you step into your vision and doing the vision work and getting into that vibration, becoming the person in your vision, is to really start to five-sensorize it, meaning using your five senses, because that's how we interact with the physical world. So, you know, when you step into the vision and let's say you're traveling and you're meeting people, what is that like? What is the touch of that handshake like or that hug like? What are the smells like? What does it look like? What does it feel like? So to really start to bring that alive in your sense memory, into your being, that will really just make these things, your vision, even more real.
Okay.
So you can continue to work with that. I know you said there was a challenge with the imagination part and all of that. And I did remember what I wanted to bring up last time. We think in pictures, right? So if I said your refrigerator, you didn't see the word refrigerator. You saw a picture of your refrigerator.
Right.
That's how we see. So like imagination, the root is image. So we think in pictures. So if I said, you know, your husband, you see his face. You see a picture of him. And that's how we see. So when you're going through your dream work and going through the vision, see it in pictures. I mean, it would be great if you could see it in moving pictures because, that, you know, a movie really is just a whole bunch of stills put together, 30 frames a second. So it's like getting those snapshots. So sometimes it's what we call scaffolding images. So let's say it's like I can't see it as a movie, but you can see it like a postcard, like a snapshot. I could see I can see this and all the detail that's in that picture. And I could see this and all the detail that's in that picture. And then you just start to string them together, and they become moving pictures, and they become more alive with sound and smell and taste and all the five senses. So the more that you can put that detail in, and that when you're going into your meditation and reading your vision statement, when you step into that, stepping into that image, making it come alive, then you really start to vibrate at that frequency.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're going to continue with that because that's like it's really the heart of all of this is really vibrating there. So so this week there was really two lessons, perception and deserving, right? So this week, so we're talking about the increasing your sense of deserving. And it's interesting because I find with Christians especially, because I have a lot of clients that are Christian, that the sense of deserving comes up a lot. Like, does God want me to have this? Does God want me to have this, you know, this wealth? Does God want me to have this life? So that sense of deserving comes up. And of course he does. I mean, Christ came to give us more, to give us the life, right?
Yeah. I don't have a problem.
You don't have a problem. That's good. That's good.
I know that.
That's good. That's good. And so, and that's, you know, and this lesson teaches us about perception, right? Where we learn to perceive ourselves differently and let go of any negative self-talk that we may have had from our past, mm-hmm. and to discover why we are truly magnificent beings. We are truly, you know, in the image of God. And what really struck me in the reading, the readings that I've been doing, is that, you know, God created us in his image. And so we are the physical manifestation of God's mind. So we are God's mind in as an expression of God's mind. So that's why we are all one. We are all connected because we're all connected to that one mind. And so by breathing, just by being, we already deserve because we are already part of that. And so by shifting our perception of that and seeing how magnificent we really are because of God, because of what he has done and why he has brought us here. And we are spiritual beings, infinite spiritual beings having a human experience. You know, these bodies that we have are just like it's just a bodysuit. But mm-hmm. the infinite side of us, that's spirit. That's who we really are, you know, having this human experience. So, and I'm really happy that you always tell, you know, your past is your past, and you talked about that, and you've let that go, and you've done a lot of that. But as you move forward and you start to talk to other people, the stories come up, right? The drama comes up. And it's like, oh, I'm this way because of this. Or we have to start teaching people, you know, that's your past. Let that go, right?
Uh-huh.
It's like, can
uh-huh.
you breathe in the past? No. Can you breathe in the future? No. You can only breathe in the present moment,
uh-huh.
right? You can only breathe in the present moment. And part of the lesson this week is we can never outperform our self-esteem, but we can change it. So, you know, with you, again, I think you get a really good sense of that. You know, your self-esteem, who you are, the strength of your mind, the strength of your heart. You know, so stay in that vibration, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's always going to be, not always, but sometimes things happen where it starts to whittle and starts to erode those edges. So just be aware of that. Just be aware of that.
Yeah, with this lesson five, I had it was easier to answer the questions. I think I answered them all
in lesson five. Yeah.
Yeah, in lesson five it was easier because I have a good sense of gratitude, so that was not difficult.
That's good. Mm-hmm. And then because some people, and that's the other thing too. You know, sometimes you said, "Oh, it's hard to imagine. It's hard to get into that vibration." Well, that vibration, and when we feel it, and when we feel that excitement, that's actually the vibration of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Just being just so deeply grateful. And then stepping into the image of the vision, stepping into that vision, it's just that sense of gratitude. This, mm-hmm. you know, of just, so that's good that you have that strong sense of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the vibration of abundance. That's the vibration of love. That's the vibration of God. It's not the lack mm-hmm. and limitation and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So that is good. That is good. Yeah. So all of the lessons for gratefulness, you went right through. So that's good.
Right.
That's good. That's good. Let me just look at my notes here. Yeah. So what's really good is that there's levels of awareness. and most people, they say like 97% of the population is living in a mindset that life is happening to them. And that's like that's the energy of victimhood, right? Like everything is happening to me. It's to me. It's to me. Why is this happening to me? Why did I get this? Why did I get the cancer? Why did I get the sickness? So it's a sense of victimhood. There's four awareness. Okay, that's that first level. The next level is life is happening.
Oh, I'm sorry. Which is the first level?
Life is happening to me.
And you said 97% of people?
Yeah, they say about 97% of people are operating at that frequency. And they don't even realize it. They go their whole life that way. Life is happening to me. Like, okay. As life is coming at me, you know, it's the things in life are just, you know, I'm the way I am because life is I'm a victim. Life has happened to me.
Mm. Okay.
But I think you're already past that because the next level up is life is happening by me. So that's where the awareness is, like, I'm controlling everything in life, right? And mm-hmm. and it's like, you know, I make things happen, this and that. And again, it's the next level of awareness. It is a step up from victimhood. But life is happening by me. I'm making life happen, stepping up to that. And then the third level of awareness is life is happening through me. So it's not, you're not controlling things, but you're allowing it to come through. There's a big difference there.
That's where we want to be?
Well, the fourth level really is life is happening as me, and that's just complete oneness with mm-hmm. with God and with life. It's as me. It's like becoming, you know, that's oneness. That's true oneness.
Mm.
Like atonement, right? At one meant, you know, being at that highest level. I think, you know, that's what we strive for, is that highest level. But you know, life is happening through us. I think a lot of this work that, and the principles and that we're teaching is really working at that level, is working mm-hmm. at the level that life is happening with me and through me. Because then once you get through that, then you step into the oneness. Then you become. It's the becoming. That's that level four, is the becoming. Life is happening as me. And that takes some time, and that's what we're working on. That's what we're working
mm-hmm.
on. Okay, so we had talked about your sense of deserving. So you understand, right? What that means, your sense of deserving. Does being deserving of the vision that you've created?
Yes. I am deserving of the vision. I don't feel that I don't deserve it. I feel that I am deserving. I feel it's something that God has put in my heart. So
therefore,
I deserve it.
right. Good. And just, you know, as we go through life, we just have to watch our words, because words have power, right? Everything is created twice, you know, first as a thought and then as a thing. And that goes for everything. So if we start to, you know, if we find ourselves saying, I can't, I don't, I'll never be, you know, the negative, adding the negatives to it, that starts to close down that creative energy. It starts to take us away from that vibration.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that just, you know, goes into gratitude and all of that. And I love the stories about being the person of increase. And I know several people and you know, that have done this. It's like, and I haven't tried it consciously yet, where even if you just go to a restaurant, right, and you have a waiter or waitress come up and say, listen, how would you like to get more tips? You know, an increasing, you know, amount of tips. And, you know, and you say, all you need to do is when you approach a new table is just in your mind, just bless them. Like, you want the highest good for everybody at that table.
Mm.
You know, sending them increase, sending them, you know, good vibes, good vibrations. And to do that every single time. And when you're serving the food and when you're, you know, you're cleaning up the table, it's just being this person of increase and just diffusing, you know, letting that come out of you and blessing the people around you. And they said the experiment, you know, you do that with you know, you tell that to a waiter or a waitress and you say, do that for 30 days. And every single time you will see at the end of the month that your tips have increased by you not doing anything differently except being that person of increase, of being, you know, just blessing those people and sending it out, because it's it's the law of circulation. It's giving and receiving. So we give first, and it doesn't cost us anything to bless people and to give that out. And yet, yet it comes right back to us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we can do that in everything that we do. Everything that we do. Be that person of increase. Be that person of increase. Mm-hmm. So this week, coming into next week, we have, you got your lessons and stuff. Let me just pull it up.
I think it's fear.
Yeah. Befriending your fear. Yeah, there's two lessons on fear. And that's interesting because I've been, you know, working a lot with my own fears. And just, you know, that sense of trusting and redefining fear, reframing it and that sort of thing. So you're going to get, you know, deep into that. So it'll be interesting for you to see what happens with that. And so do you have any questions at this point or any?
No, I don't think so. I'm looking forward to, you know, pushing ahead with this.
Yeah. And, you know, you're doing the work. That's good. You're leaning into it. And if you don't understand it, that's fine. You know, we'll talk about it and we'll bring it into focus.
Yeah, it was helpful you clarifying. I think I'm going to go back and elaborate a little bit more on those lessons from chapter 4 that I didn't complete, because I think I understand that a little bit. I think I can expand on that a little bit.
Yeah. And then continue with your vision. Continue adding details and specificity to it. Continue to, you know, when you visualize it, close your eyes, see that image, stepping into that image, and start to bring in your five senses into it. You know, if you're in another country, what does the food smell like? What does the food taste like? You know, what is it, you know, if you're holding a child's hand, what is the temperature of that hand? Is it wet or cold? I mean, start to bring in those details. It'll just make the visions come alive.
Okay.
You know, it's like, you know, having traveled just this past week, now you have memories of that, and you can bring to mind, you know, some interactions with, you know, the kids and with the adults, and, you know, so your body has a sense memory there.
Mm-hmm.
And so now applying that same sense memory, but moving in the future, you know, applying that, because that just makes it real. It'll just bring it into your cells.
Okay.
All right.
Mhm.
All right. Good. So next week there's two lessons, both on befriending your fear, 6 and 7. So go through that. Let's take a look at the calendar, because where's it month? Because next I'm going to be in Dearborn, Michigan next week, and we get back on the 5th. The following Monday is Columbus Day. I mean, I'm available.
The 8th is Columbus Day? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm available next Monday, the 1st, but you're going to be away.
I'm traveling that day, yeah.
Yeah, so we can do the 8th.
Let's do the 8th. Okay, so let me...
And unfortunately, the next one will have to be 2 weeks again, because then the week after I'm away.
Then you're away. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. So let me just a week pull this up. So that's Columbus Day, Monday the 8th. Okay, good. So the same time, yeah?
Yeah.
All right, good. All right. You know, and if anything comes up, you have a question, you don't understand something, or a paradigm comes up and, you know, you're getting hammered, feel free to just, you know, call me, text me, email, whatever, you know, you're not here to do it by yourself. I'm here to help you.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. We had talked about tentatively doing a water demo on the 16th.
Yes.
Now it turns out that I'm going to be out of town that week, so it's not going to be possible.
Got it. Okay.
So that's the week of the 16th.
Yeah.
So are you around the Tuesday the 30th?
Let me see. Tuesday the 30th. Yes. You want to shift it there?
Yeah, I think I'd like to shift it to there. It's a long time that we haven't done one, but I have some people in the back burner, several doctors and other people that I really want to follow up with.
Okay.
And I just find that inviting them to an event is a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot easier. So I really want to try to get that event set up.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I just shifted it in my calendar. So the 30th.
Uh-huh.
Okay. October 30th. All right. So I just shifted that.
The day before Halloween. You think that's a problem?
No. I've actually done demos on Halloween. No,
yeah.
It should be fine.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't even believe in Halloween, but I mean, for the other people, it's the day before.
It's the day before. It should be fine. Yeah.
Okay. Another question. Do you think if I do have some people for Thursday, shall I try to get them into Rick's demo?
Yeah, you can. You could do that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's the whole thing is if you get somebody that's willing to come, you know, have them come. You know, have them show up. And then, you know, and if they do come ahead of time, you know, we can reach out to Rick just so he has the heads up and he could, you know, give them some special attention.
Okay, good.
All right.
Very, very good.
All right. Well, good work. Keep going.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. You have a good evening.
You too. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.